TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now, talking all things Timberwolves, the Raised by Wolves podcast.
So what would you say all of this has to do with? If it's not them, what is it?
They said nobody wants to tell the truth. That's what it is. Nobody wants to be honest. When somebody makes a mistake, you look the other way. Not me. If I make a mistake, you tell me. If I gamble, stop gambling. But if I do something that you don't like, tell me. Don't be like, hey, da-da-da-da-da. Don't talk to me like that. Talk to me like, look, you know you're not supposed to do that. So that's how I talk to people when they do something they're not supposed to do. And it's just like, whoa, he doesn't like that guy. No, it's not the fact that I don't like the guy. That's how I get my point across.
Manny, you bleeping need me. You can't win without me.
We can't do this. You can't do this without me. Oh, what a week. What a week. What a week. We are the Raised by Wolves podcast. I'm Manny Hill. That is the voice of Derek James. You heard not the voice of Jim. Well, it was the voice of Jimmy Butler at the start there, but he ain't here.
You know, Manny, some people get to cover, you know, championships and deep playoff runs, but our beat is definitely more exciting.
This is
never dull.
It is never a dull moment with this franchise, and it's always been this way for 30 years. Like, it's always been this way, no matter who's on the team, no matter who's been in charge of personnel decisions, no matter what players have been on the team. Something has always been a talker, at least for like the last 25 years with this team. There's always been something. And here we go again. I mean, Jimmy Butler showed up at practice on Wednesday, and he put on a show, a rant, or whatever you want to call it. It is certainly, as a radio and podcast producer and on-air personality at 1500 ESPN, it has made my job easier for this week. I can tell you that much.
Oh, man, we'd be talking about preseason basketball and reading way too much into Kata Bates' job, you know, flying through third stringers and fringe NBA players. I mean, this is actually definitely better.
Well, apparently the third stringers are doing all right because Jimmy Butler did pretty well with them.
This might be the deepest team in the West.
So what do you make of all this? I mean, because there's so many different directions that we could go with this, with just, you know, who's to blame and who, you know, what should happen next and you know, who should be saying what and what's true, because we're seeing so many different conflicting reports where, I mean, Derek, we're seeing players go after media members now.
Players go after media members, players refuting credible reporters' reports. I mean, so where do you start with this story? I mean, we had, of course, the Jimmy and Rachel Nichols interview, which we'll get into a lot more. And then then the Wolves call off practice the day after the interview, and also to Jimmy's tirade. And apparently there's a players-only meeting. They called off practice to travel to Milwaukee a day earlier, which, I mean, this is kind of weird. So I get that, you know, you like fans want them to be working on a trade and this or that. But are you really going to let Jimmy, you know, have the last word like that? You can, and rather than put out a statement somehow without sounding like you're trying to, you know, argue with him in public, so that, you know, there's at least another side of the story so that this isn't the only thing that's going on. Unless, and Jimmy was right, and I'm not sure how much Jimmy Butler is telling the truth, and that Tom Thibodeau is actually enjoying this, and he has no statement to issue because Jimmy has spoken for him. And that really seems to be what the indication is, that, yeah, this is all fine by Tom Thibodeau, and this is, you know, what he's wanted and what he embraces.
Yeah, and I just, it's amazing to me, like, I more than anything, like, I want to know what Glenn Taylor has to say about all this. And I know that Glenn has been, you know, Glenn obviously he owns the Star Tribune, and, you know, people from the Star Tribune have said, you know, Glenn Taylor has declined comment on all of this stuff, and, you know, and I get it, but this is his team. This is his franchise. He's owned this franchise since 1994, and this is going on, and I want to know what he has to say about this. I really do, because
I mean, this is his show.
This is his show. And the thing of it is there's all of this stuff is going on under his watch as the owner.
As it always has, though. I mean, so I guess there's a lot of Mark Stein had to kind of rephrase something after Doogie did a little bit of digging. Doogie wasn't obviously going after Mark Stein after Mark Stein said that Glenn Taylor nixed the deal for with Josh Richardson in the first.
Right.
Explaining, you know, what Doogie said instead, so that when Glenn Taylor hesitated, that caused Tom Thibodeau to probably think that, and this is going to be putting that together, that caused Tibbs to go back to Pat Riley and ask for more. And so presumably Tibbs was like, well, the owner's clearly not sold on this. Otherwise, he would have said yes by now. So let's go back and ask for more so I can say, hey, we got another first or two. And I guess that's when Pat Riley called him a mother bleeper and hung up the phone.
Gosh. Oh, this stuff is absolutely crazy.
I just can't think of anything else like this. Like, this is just such an unbelievable thing to kind of be a part of.
You can't make it up. I mean, you really can't. And, I mean, on Mackie and Judd this week, we've had fun with, you know, the whole Days of Our Wolves thing that we've been playing and all this other stuff. But, like, you really cannot. You can't. I almost want somebody to make a 30 for 30 on not just this whole thing, but the entire 30-year history of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, gosh. I mean,
I almost feel like it would be a 5-part special.
It'd be a miniseries. Oh, no question. And now, like, there's more stuff that's trickling out right as we're taping this. John Krasinski has an exclusive with Kevin Garnett on The Athletic, and I haven't opened it. It's Kevin Garnett saying it's a bleep storm up there. I almost didn't say bleep. I was this close to not saying bleep before I got myself. And then Doogie tweeted something that he found from ABC News 1/ESPN. Tom Thibodeau said, the best way, in my opinion, to get in game condition is to play, wait for it in an actual game. But Butler is, oh, it's Doogie. But Butler's back here in the Twin Cities to work on his conditioning. The saga is the gift that keeps on giving. So Tibbs is speaking, apparently, just not about this and just letting this go on, which tells me again that he's not really too concerned that some misinformation's out there, that his stance isn't being written, the team stance isn't being represented, because I guess it is.
I want to play something else from the Rachel Nichols, Jimmy Butler interview that really, really stood out to me. And we played it a couple times on Mackie and Judd this week. But I think if Jimmy's telling the truth in this part that I'm about to play, then it's really, really troubling for me.
How soon after the season did you tell him how you feel?
4 days.
4 days after the season?
Four.
How clear were you?
Have you ever known me to hide anything?
I'm just asking.
Look what happened today at practice.
I know.
Have you ever known me to hold back?
Mm-hmm.
No. So there's the answer. I was completely honest about everything. About everything.
Okay.
He's so proud of himself.
There's speculation on, you know, how much of what Jimmy's saying is just calculated and, you know, how much of it is, you know, his agent, Bernie Lee, that's leaking things and all of this other stuff. But I got to say, if Jimmy Butler went to Tom Thibodeau 4 days after the season, and I don't care if this is 4 days after they were eliminated by the Rockets. I don't care if this is 4 days after the NBA Finals. I don't care if this was 4 days after the new calendar year started for the NBA. If that was the case, if he went to Tom Thibodeau 4 days after whatever.
So best case, he knew about this for 3 months already.
Right. If he did that, if that's true, and he went to Tom Thibodeau and said and voiced everything that was on his mind, that he was frustrated with and that he wanted out and all this other stuff, and Tom Thibodeau spent the entire offseason doing nothing or just assuming that Jimmy was going to change his mind, that's fireable to me. I'm sorry. That's fireable to me. As a president of basketball operations, you cannot, you have to, I've said this time and time again, Tom Thibodeau is being paid for two jobs here, to be the head coach and to be the president of basketball operations. And when your star player, when your best player comes up to you 4 days after the season and voices all of his frustrations, and you don't, because I said, Derek, I said right after the season started, I said, or right after the season ended, I should say, that Tom Thibodeau and Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns and anybody else involved needs to sit down, have a conversation about everything, and try and work this out, because there's too much talent on this team for guys to be bickering at each other and not getting along with each other and things like that.
And lobbing bombs to each other through the, you know, the media and leaks and things like that. And I think, yeah, what you get at is spot on. I mean, like I said, best case, he knew about this at least three months ago, within the last 3 to 6 months. So, I mean, as both jobs, really, that he has, president of basketball operations and even the head coach, your job is to act in the best interest of the franchise.
It's your responsibility.
It's just, yeah. And it's, I mean, this is something that could truly hurt the franchise long term if Jimmy Butler winds up walking for nothing, because I don't get the sense that this is something that's just going to play itself out and just get better. I mean, it doesn't seem like Jimmy's the kind of guy who just up and changes his mind very much.
Like, why, if this is true, like if what Jimmy just said in that clip was true and he told Tibbs 4 days after the season ended, why are you not having conversations with people? Why are you not?
Because you know they didn't pick up the phone once.
Right. Why are you not sitting down and having that conversation that I was talking about? If Jimmy tells you 4 days after the season's over that I've got all these issues and I don't, you know, I feel this is how I feel, I'm being honest, because that's what Jimmy talked about with
Rachel. Well, do you remember that episode of The Low Post when Zach led Brian Windhorst on? He was talking about, I don't know, I keep an eye on Minnesota. Something weird is happening up there. Everybody knew.
Yeah. Doogie was on the air with Mackie and Judd multiple times after the season ended all is not well. All is not
grown-ups need to have grown-up conversations.
Yeah. This was right after the season that something was brewing.
I mean, this seems to verify all of that Jimmy Butler did in fact. I mean, you just kind of put the pieces together there that Jimmy did in fact go to them and say, "Hey, I'm not going to re-sign. I want to go somewhere else."
Yeah, if Tom Thibodeau let this thing fester for 3 months, 4 months, however long it was until we found out last month that Jimmy wanted to be traded. If he just let that fester with the mentality of, Jimmy's fine, Jimmy just needs to take some time away and he'll come back ready to go and we'll be good and everybody will be fine. Like, that's not how you approach it, man.
No.
And again, I don't know what conversations were or were not had during the offseason, but it does not look to me like anything, any sort of proactive approach was made in the offseason to try and fix this when there really should have been.
It just seemed like he just turned the music up louder or put his hands over his ears and said, "La, la, 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 I can't hear you," and buried his head in the sand for 3 months until that it seems like the Butler camp just got fed up and decided to make it public to kind of force their hand a little bit. So they couldn't just pretend like it wasn't happening and that everything wasn't falling apart. But could you just imagine that had all this played out, somehow stayed under the radar for all these months, and we get to next season, and Jimmy's gone. And then what? I mean, we would have been blindsided. Tibbs probably would have looked a little better than he does now. But, oh my gosh, it's probably best that it came out when it did. But this is just getting to be a mess. And I think just even overseeing that in practice and just let Jimmy, you know, carry on like that is unacceptable for a leader.
I love Tibbs. I love Tibbs. But Tibbs is very smart. Tibbs is very smart. So I think sometimes he hears what he wants to hear. We got Tibbs. Look, here's Tibbs. Jimmy wants to play for Tibbs. They're guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can't sit here and say that it's always in my best interest, because he worked for the organization as well. And I have to realize that. And I have to sit back and be like, well, he does care about you, but he does work for the organization. And his job is to do his best for the organization.
And my question is, has he done what's best for the organization?
No. He's done what's best for Jimmy. Well, what he thinks is best for Jimmy Butler and himself, and that's Jimmy Butler. I mean, this all just comes down to that Tom Thibodeau is on team Jimmy Butler. He's not on team Timberwolves. He's not, you know, it doesn't seem like he's acting as head coach or executive. He's really, I mean, he's just team Butler at this point and keeping him around.
It's not about money.
So tell me what it's about.
It's about like saying, we need you. We want you here. We can't do this without you. And that was the disconnect all year long. Like you're saying one thing and you're saying it and you're saying it and you're saying it. I mean, I've learned enough times in life that, you know, saying something is completely different than acting upon it. Say actions speak louder than words, whatever quote you want to use. And when it came to that point, it was like, I let y'all know what the deal was as soon as you traded for me. I told you the truth from day one, and I will continue to do it. And I did it. And it's kind of like, I don't know, slap in the face. I don't know how to put it. Mm-hmm. But it made me think, like, maybe I'm not that important to your organization. That is how I took it. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But that's how I look at it, and that's why you get the quotes that is all over the internet from me today, because I felt the type of way. I held it in. I haven't said anything to anybody. It's my first interview, Rach.
Yep.
I haven't said anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. And it comes out.
Yeah.
It comes out. So that's what it's all about. I just wanted to feel wanted. I just wanted you to be like, yo, I don't think we could do it without that guy.
Jimmy is who he is.
Is he just delusional?
I don't know. Here's what I think about Jimmy Butler, and I mean I'm kind of repeating myself here, but we all know he's a terrific player. Like he's one of the 15 best players in the NBA.
Yes.
I think Jimmy is who he is. I think he has always been like this. For years. Like, it's not like he got good and then changed. I think he's always kind of had this mentality of this sort of chip on his shoulder because he wasn't drafted high and he wasn't heavily recruited out of high school and all of that. Like, we know Jimmy's story. I don't know if he is a guy that you should rely upon to be an alpha. Like a true, undisputed, undeniable alpha on a franchise.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question.
I just don't think he's that. And it's not knocking him. It's not saying that he's.
I think I that has
I don't think
more.
He's
to...
a bad. He's not a bad dude. He's not. You know, he's a terrific player. I think he needs to be in a certain type of situation where he is not asked to be a leader among young players.
That's what I was going to say. He has the talent to be a number one guy. His personality, though, he does not. And I think you talked about this on the air yesterday. He just does not make guys better. Obviously, they were a better team, but no, he doesn't elevate the play of other guys. He doesn't, you know, get more out of them, you know, so to speak. And that's not necessarily just the rah, rah, rah stuff, but he's worried about Jimmy first and foremost. And he's had to have been to get where he is.
Right.
But there's not like that next level of leadership where he's just, you know, elevating, lifting guys up and, you know, making them better. We just haven't seen that. And I think, yeah, you're going to need a strong culture. You're going to need like a Phil Jackson type coach that got, you know, Kobe and Shaq to play together and Michael Jordan to play with, well, anyone. And Dennis Rodman to keep him under control too. I mean, you need a tough personality and a strong culture like that. And the Timberwolves have never been that.
And that's why I've said, you know, with Jimmy, like, Jimmy needs to be in an environment where he's an alpha on the court, but he's not relied upon to be an alpha off of the court.
Right.
In terms of being an alpha in the locker room and being, like, he needs to be in a situation where there is somebody else, like, this is an easy example, but like a LeBron James. A prominent guy who is going to take on the burden of, I shouldn't even say it's a burden, but take on the responsibility of being the leader of the team and uplifting and empowering other teammates around him. And Jimmy just needs to be the guy that goes out there and works his tail off on the court and produces for you. Like that's the kind of situation that Jimmy Butler needs to be in. Not to be like the face of a franchise that everybody defers to.
You know, don't you kind of look at it like kind of like James Harden, where, you know, he had that conflict with Dwight and, you know, they tried to get each other traded and eventually the Rockets just let Dwight walk and all that. Or John Wall in Washington, where, you know, he feuds with Marcin Gortat on end. And, you know, like the Wizards, apparently they all hate each other. It all stems from, you know, the primary leader of the franchise. And I do think there are a lot of guys in these positions, and we always wonder why these teams fall up short and the results don't add up to, you know, the expectations based on the roster on paper.
It's very, very rare to be that guy that can shoulder all of that responsibility of leading a franchise, being the face of the franchise, empowering and uplifting other guys and making them better and everything. Like, there's, you can count on one hand, if you really think about it, you can count on one hand the amount of players in the league that can do that.
Oh, yeah, easily.
You know, so it's not, this is not a, this is not a knock on Jimmy Butler or saying that he's not, you know, he's not worth the trouble and all that. You know, because I've seen people say things like that, and it's,
that's, this is madness.
That's just, he just needs to be in a certain type of situation.
Like Draymond Green and Steve Kerr. Dre and Steve Kerr had their little blow up, but now, and then Kerr went back to him. He wrote him a handwritten letter, which not everyone has to do, but like, he found a way to reach his player. And they're not necessarily the closest team. They don't spend all summer hanging out. Yet you wouldn't really question, I mean, for the most part, you know, how much that core of like Clay, Curry, and Draymond, you know, actually like each other and get along. Yet they're all very different guys, and they still find a way to be successful. Now, there's been some weird stuff apparently with KD, but like those three guys have been pretty tight, and there hasn't been a lot of weird issues. And if they have been, they've resolved them.
You know, and the other thing too with that, and I'm glad you brought up the Warriors, because, you know, and it's easy, kind of, it's kind of easy to pick the Warriors as like the model example, because look, they've got, they have four of the top, you know, 20 players in the NBA in their starting lineup. Well, maybe five if Boogie Cousins is healthy. So, I mean, it's easy to pick them and say, well, yeah, of course they, everything's working well for them. But, you know, how good they are has to do with talent, obviously, but a lot of it has to do with just all of those guys having sort of the same, the personalities are different, but they all have sort of the same mindset, and they all have the same, you know, think about this too, with the exception of like Iggy, they're all around the same age.
Yeah,
they all kind of came into the league. I mean, Draymond came in a couple of years later,
but wasn't Draymond like a Steph couple years older?
Yeah,
so they're probably, well, still Dray, about
Draymond
the same
was a four-year, Draymond was a senior coming out of Michigan State, but they're all, these guys are all, you look at that roster, they're all 28, 29, 30 years old. They're all around the same age. So that's why the Warriors are where they are at, because so many, you know, I mean, KD was plugged into the mix afterwards, after the big success that the Warriors have had, but it was a seamless fit because obviously he's a great player, one of the greatest scorers that we've seen in the history of the league, but also he's the same age and of the same sort of mindset as them and the same sort of, you know, professional maturity level as them. But you get a situation like this where Jimmy Butler's a, and Jimmy Butler's a different cat. Like, we all know that. No pun intended. But he's a different guy. He's built mm-hmm. differently. He came up differently. And so you try to mix that with Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, who were highly recruited out of high school, highly touted out of college, number one overall draft picks, all the talent, all the physical talent in the world, they're different. It doesn't make either side bad. Now, we know Andrew Wiggins has a lot, he has a long ways to go, but my point is, they're different. They're different from Jimmy Butler. They followed a different path than Jimmy Butler did. And because Jimmy doesn't have the sort of personality that can just take somebody under his wing and be patient with young guys.
Which is interesting because evidently Luol Deng showed him that when he was a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't, I guess he's just not the type of guy to pass it along, and that's fine. Not everyone has to, but there's just such a difference in approach. And yeah, I mean, you talk about just the difference in, I mean, I think we're talking about like where they are in their careers, and Jimmy Butler is like, you know, hey, I'm about to be 30. The injuries are kind of adding up. This is my last shot at a big payday. I need to start looking to win. Whereas, you know, the rest of his young core is like, we're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure out our game, where we are in the NBA and this or that. I mean, they have a ways to go before they get there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is just contradicting in some ways. And, you know, either they can reconcile that or not. And it sounds like Jimmy just, I mean, flat out isn't interested in that.
And again, Jimmy has a different personality than Karl Anthony Towns. We know that. It's pretty obvious. But let's think about where Jimmy Butler was when he was Karl Anthony Towns' age. Was not nearly the player that he is today.
No.
Not nearly the player that he is today. So, I mean, for me, look, Cat's got his flaws, man. You know that I've been critical of Cat for things. He needs to get better as a defender. He needs to not get so easily frustrated when he's trying to post somebody up and Kelly Olynyk is fronting him and he's getting frustrated and he's not getting all the foul calls that he thinks he should get and all of that stuff. Like, all of that.
Well, and he should have just finished his senior year at Kentucky if this was 20 years ago.
Exactly. So Cat's got his flaws. But this idea that this is, that Cat is 22, he's going to be 23 next month, that this is just how he's going to be, that 6 years from now, Karl Anthony Towns is going to be the exact same way. Like, we're all just sort of assuming that he's going to be the same way. A lot of this is just he just needs to play more. He needs to be more in the league. And, you know, you just want to, you hope that he continues to show, you know, to make the strides that he needs to make. But this, you know, the bottom line in all of this, long story, you know, longer, I guess, is that this just was not a right fit. Jimmy Butler just wasn't a right fit. He just wasn't a right fit.
No, I mean, it's a good chance to take, I think.
Yeah, and Tom Thibodeau, you know, he gave up a lot to get Jimmy Butler, and this whole thing has kind of blown up in his face. And now, I mean, this is the way this whole thing has been handled, I think, is very, very poor. And now you have to move on from him, and you just have to try and start this thing over. But yeah. But you got to do it right. And I don't know if Tom Thibodeau is the right guy to do it, but the situation is what it is right now, and they have to move on from this now. They gotta Jimmy Butler has to be traded now. You can't. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau thinks that he can really try and convince him to stay here or
he's
not.
He's lost his locker room.
If that's what he's really thinking, then he is incredibly misguided, because that's not going
to
happen.
He's had to have lost the respect of this locker room. And I think that's the biggest reason. I mean, I think if you're in a position like Tom Thibodeau, you can't have that. You can't have your locker room, you know, not on the same page as you. So I think they do have to move on from Jimmy from that standpoint, even if they can rally around, hey, we don't like this coach either. So, yeah, I think from Tom Thibodeau's standpoint, he does have to move on from whether or not he likes it at this point, because this is what the position he's put himself in.
And this is where, too, you know, Jimmy gets traded. This is now where I look at Towns and Wiggins, more specifically Towns, because, you know, I think Wiggins is kind of who he is. But this is where I look at the two of them and say, okay, now big, bad, mean Jimmy is gone. Now this is back on your shoulders. Now you got to step up, and now you got to do more. You got to show the strides that you need to take. You got to do this, and you should be motivated more than ever, because everybody is, people that are on Jimmy Butler's side are looking at you, looking at the two of you, and saying you young kids aren't trying hard, and you're not playing hard enough, and all this other stuff that, you know, the stuff that Jimmy has been saying. Everybody's looking at those two guys now, at Cat and Wiggins, and Cat specifically. Okay, now what are you going to do? Is this going to push you even more? Is this going to piss you off to the point where you now take that next step this
year?
Or even
if, like, the stuff from, you know, the reports from practice are true that, you know, Cat stepped up to Jimmy and challenged him, and then Cat checked out every single time, and Andrew Wiggins dapped him up after, and it's just, you guys, I mean, how does no one step in there and, you know, at least, I mean, one of those two at least, you know, stand up for themselves and their team? Because, I mean, this guy hasn't been around at all. And then he just shows up like that. I mean, I don't know how you accept that.
I just want to see, I really want to see how Karl Anthony Towns responds to all of this on the court. Like, I don't really care what he says in interviews and things like that. I mean, obviously, if he says something significant, obviously we're all going to be drawn to it and be intrigued by what he has to say, of course. But I want to see the impact on the court that this is going to have. Like, is Cat going to come out now this year pissed off about what's been said, what's been done, how things have been handled? He's got his contract now, which is good for the franchise.
Yeah.
But now it's like, all right, now you got it good on the floor, and let's see something. Let's see something. Because everybody is looking at him and saying, okay, well, Jimmy's saying all this, and, you know, people are calling you soft, and I'm not going to call Karl-Anthony Towns soft, okay? I mean, that's just whatever. But, you know, people are saying that, and people are looking at how he performed in the playoffs, and they're saying things about that. So now I want to see Karl-Anthony Towns kick it up a notch, because you know it's he's capable of
it. He's been talking this talk for how many years now? And I do agree that it's really time for him to step up. No matter where Jimmy is next year, even if he comes back, you know, even if it's, you know, even if he doesn't, like, you have to assert yourself and, you know, just realize what you're capable of and go out there and do it. Cause there are very few players, if any, right now that can do what he can do at his size. It's ridiculous. He should be a cheat code. And I mean, he's incredible. He's one of the most efficient players in the game, but he could be an absolute nightmare on both ends. You know, if he, you know, starts playing like, you know, we believe him, he could be.
Yeah. And Andrew Wiggins, I mean, the same thing. I don't, you know, I mean, Andrew Wiggins, I gotta see it, man. We all got to see it, and there's a lot of people that have just thrown up, waved the white flag with Andrew Wiggins, and
I got off Wiggins Island last year.
Yeah, I'm there too. Like, I will believe it when I see it with him. But it's time for him too. It's time. Like, this franchise with Jimmy Butler most likely on his way out, it is time. Like, these two guys got to do it. They got to do it. It is time. Like, it is really time. And, you know, I know that, you know, that there's still the elephant in the room of the head coach and president of basketball operations, and that's a whole nother thing too, and I understand that, and I get the frustrations on that end too, because I'm frustrated with that stuff too, with that end of it. But it's just, either way, Towns and Wiggins, like, it's time now, man. Like, well, it's really time.
I think people get up on the idea that we're saying that they should just, you know, get rid of him for anything, and that's just not the case.
No, you can't do that.
But
no.
You need to be honest about actually pursuing a trade for him, because they're clearly out there. There are people interested in Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I mean, just make the right deal. Make the right deal. You don't have to get – I mean, at this point, you're not going to get – if you're going to make a trade with the Miami Heat, you're not going to get half their roster and Eric Spoelstra's unborn children. Like you're just, you know, no. Whatever. Like, that's not going to happen. Just get a good deal, get a nice return, and move forward. That's what they have to do right now. So, all right. I got all that off my chest. You got all that off your chest. We do have a season starting next week. That's fun.
That's not nearly as interesting as what's happening behind the scenes.
I know. The Wolves will tip things off in San Antonio on the 17th. If something happens this weekend, we'll probably do another pod and break it down.
Well, the Spurs
we'll
just lost Derek White for 6 to 8 weeks, and that's after already losing Deontay Murray. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a fun night on October 17th, whether Jimmy Butler is here or not. You can find the Raised by Wolves podcast, of course, on iTunes, podcast1.com, and 1500ESPN.com as well. All right, deep breath. Season starts next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Manny Hill. That's Derek James. And we'll talk to you next time.